Well, good morning and Happy New Year. You know, it's interesting because our sermon is called Our Valleys, but as I was going through this, sometimes as pastors, we go over stuff and over stuff, and then the title, The Lord Will Provide, and came to mind, and I think probably a better fitting title. And just as I was getting ready to come up here, my wife kind of tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, "Don't worry, the Lord will provide." I'm not sure what happened to the scripture just now. That's not the right scripture. I have the right scripture, so I'm going to read it really quick. That was a lovely scripture, and pronunciations, I know that was tough. So thank you for reading that. And so we're looking at Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. It's even up there. Okay. So it says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He led me all around them, and they were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, 'Mortal, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live, and I will lay sinews on you and cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and it was the bones that came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and there were sinews upon them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude." This is a word of God for the people of God. So this morning, we are talking about valleys, and for those of you that don't know me, let me introduce myself really quick. Good morning. I am Pastor Andrew Sanders. I've been a pastor in the United Methodist Conference for over 13 years now. I've been taking a year off of ministry, working as a welder, and I've joined you guys, my wife and I have joined you guys for the last 7 months. Here at First Methodist, and we have enjoyed it immensely and have been welcomed in. And so that's a little bit about me. So I want to know a little bit about you this morning. How many of us have taken a little time since this is New Year's to reflect on the past year? Yeah, good, good. We have hands. Okay. So how many of us have looked forward to the upcoming year with the possibilities ahead? It kind of made plans. Great. Okay. Okay. So I'm sure that all that reflecting, we may have come up with things that we would like to see different in ourselves and our circumstances, right? Doing a little bit of reflection time. So some may call these goals or resolutions, as we heard earlier. I've made resolutions myself from time to time. I haven't really this year. I have set some goals, but I would resolve that I would like to take on new things, things that would be character building or maybe to achieve something. And I think that to put in this into perspective, like when I was a seminary student, I would set the goal oftentimes that I would not procrastinate and actually get my assignments turned in early, or I would start working on them earlier. And I know that some of our students in here, that may resonate with you. I can't say that I always did that, because I did procrastinate at times. Maybe we even have set goals for diet and exercise to get healthier and stronger in upcoming year. I see head shaking. No. So all these things sound feasible and good, but it takes no time at all, or it would take me no time at all, before I would find myself back in the same old pattern of thought and behavior. I have come to realize that in life, if I want things such as a resolution to be achieved, I can't just think about it at one time during the year, like the very beginning of the year, and never think about it again and think it's going to happen. But instead, I need to work on who God made me to be all year long. So I know none of the rest of you have ever made a resolution only to find it not being achieved. But don't beat yourself up over it if you have. The prophet Ezekiel in our scripture this morning was looking over a dark valley. He is being shown a vision. And for those of us who wonder what this vision may be like, I would think that it would be a very vivid dream. So it would be something like that would be so vivid that it would be like a dream that we have sometimes that feels so real. We wake up with those emotions still fresh on our minds. How many of us have gotten up in the morning to have our spouse looking at us funny, only to find out that they're upset because we did something in their dream that they didn't like, right? Or maybe we were the ones that had that dream, and it took us a little while to shake those emotions off before we got started in the day. Well, I think it's a lot like that. Ezekiel is standing before the Valley of Dry Bones. Now, this would have been a valley, so there's ridges on both sides. It would have been dark and shadowy. The bones that Ezekiel is being shown would have been bones of the ancestors of Israel. This particular valley would have been mostly devoid of life. In fact, in our scripture, we heard that because it says the bones were completely dry, no life left in them. And that's what Ezekiel is looking at. And then God speaks the dry bones back to life. Now, this would have been an awesome but scary vision, to see bones coming back together and the people being remade from the inside out. So why was Ezekiel sowing this valley? Why was he sowing this vision? I believe that Ezekiel was sowing this valley because he and the rest of Israel, they were in a spiritual valley. They had strayed from God as a whole. They had been overtaken by surrounding kingdoms. They were, in all reality, bones scattered about, because they were no longer worshiping true God, but they were worshiping idols and other things. They were all in reality looking like they could never be brought back together. You know, I bet most of us are probably more familiar with Psalm 23, a different valley, right? Instead of Ezekiel. So in Psalm 23, we read, "We walk through the valley of the shadow of death." So it's kind of painting that same picture. Now, I've been in some valleys myself. A couple years ago, we went to Oregon for vacation. And on the way home, we stopped in Idaho, and the landscape was mostly flat where we were at, except that there was some volcanic rocks that were behind us that looked like they were big rounded mounds, almost like turtle cells on the landscape. Well, I could see a path leading up to these rocks, and I decided that I wanted to go for a hike and hike up on these rocks. So I grabbed a bottle of water, headed out from our campsite, and headed up for this trail. And as I'm going along following this trail, I realized the trail I picked ran next to the rocks I wanted to be on. I found myself in a valley, and it was beautiful, so I continued forward. And I'm not a person that likes to turn around and backtrack if I can help it. I like to just go forward and figure out where I'm going from there. So as I'm going along, I thought any time this path is going to veer up into those rocks I wanted to be in. And I get to the end of the valley, and it actually was a dead end. So, like I said, I don't like to backtrack. I started looking around. I saw up on the ridge that there was an animal path that led up on the ridge, and it led to the rocks I wanted to go to in the first place. So my original goal, and I was like, you know, I'm not done hiking yet. I would like to still get on those rocks. So I headed up the animal path, and there was slate rock that had come out of the side of the cliff, and the animal path was about like that, so I had to climb on all fours to get up to where I was going, and I could see the way out, and as I curved around, all that was there was this little spot that was about an opening 20 or 30 feet above my head. I couldn't go back down, so I had to move forward. And I knew since this was an animal path that somehow goats or deer or whatever went up that path, that they clearly used the slate rock that stuck out of the cliff like this. And both sides were pretty close, so they must jump on those rocks to get out. So I decided I would do the same thing. So I kind of crab walked all the way up the side of this opening, and I got to my original destination that I wanted to get to. See, the thing is that since I did make it out of that valley, it took time. It took effort. It took evaluation and re-evaluation to get out of that valley. It wasn't an easy task, but I was able to get out of that valley. Even if you don't hike yourself, you'll face valleys on your own. Maybe it won't be a physical valley, but maybe it's a spiritual or emotional valley that we find ourselves in. We can face valleys of death where loss seems to be ever present. Valleys of sickness. And boy, we have experienced sickness since 2020, haven't we? Valleys of loneliness and valleys of stress. All these can be valleys that we enter into, that we can feel the darkness around us, not knowing yourself this new year. There is hope of getting out of the valley. Each valley isn't just a hole that we're walking into. If we start looking up and studying the ridge line, the top edge of our valleys, we might start to see that there are ways to climb out of the valley. Now, did you notice something in our scripture this morning? God spoke the bones back to life, but what did he say? He used the prophet Ezekiel. He said, "You speak the words, then I will do it." He wanted to have him as an active participant in what was happening. And that's what God wants for each one of us as well, to be active participants in what he is doing in our lives. Yes, God can provide, and God will provide, but he also calls us to do the work so that it can be done. So, such is the case for one young pastor that I believe was facing a valley of stress himself. He had been invited to a learning time with his bishop and some of the top Christian speakers of the day. And when the young pastor arrived with nothing but a notepad, because he wanted to soak up all the wisdom that would be shared with him that day. After arriving, he found a seat that was fairly close to where the bishop was sitting. After a while, the bishop came to speak to the young pastor. After greeting him warmly, the bishop looked at the young pastor and said, "Do you know that our keynote speaker won't be here today?" And the pastor, being disappointed, he was like, "Wow, I really wanted to hear that particular speaker, and I'm sure that the other people here did too." The bishop didn't stop there. He said, "Son, I've got an important task for you. I've prayed about this, and I feel that God was pointing me to you to fill the pulpit today." Well, then he said, "You'll be speaking in 4 hours. And immediately the young pastor started backing up, and he said, "But I have nothing with me. I didn't even grab my Bible before I left today." And the bishop looked at him and said, "Don't worry, the Lord will provide." Well, each time the pastor protested, the bishop would say, "Don't worry, the Lord will provide." Now, you can imagine that the pastor is now in a valley himself, experiencing the darkness and not seeing where he can climb out. The pastor then excuses himself to find a quiet place to sit and to think. After a couple hours of praying, writing, and rewriting sermons, the pastor was down to the final hour, and he had nothing to take before all his peers and the bishop. And so, out of desperation, he flopped in a chair, he prayed again, and then he looked, and he realized there was a Bible that was underneath the table. So he pulled the Bible out that was tucked away, and he started thumbing through it to see if there was something that would inspire him and give him this message. And about then, notes fell out of the Bible. And when he picked them up, he started reading them, and he realized that the bishop had left his Bible in there, and his sermon that he would be preaching that evening was now in his hand. The pastor's hand started trembling as he realized that his prayers had just been answered. So then he studied that sermon for the next hour. Goes out, he preaches it to the crowd, and before long, he said, as he's going along, he sees that the bishop through the entire sermon had that look of disgust on his face. And as he's preaching and he gives the sermon of a lifetime, he gets done. And at the very end, the crowd stands up and gives him a standing ovation because it's so good. Well, then he goes to leave the stage and he walks to the edge where he was met by a not very happy bishop that said, "Son, that was my sermon. Now what am I supposed to do?" And the pastor turned to him and said, "Don't worry, the Lord will provide." Now that's one way to get out of the valley, isn't it? In both of our scriptures this morning, we see a wonderful metaphor of valleys, our scripture from Ezekiel and Psalm 23. But God doesn't just stop at the valleys. The Lord provides the hope of overcoming those valleys in our life. The valley of the dry bones, God put all the people back together, even breathing life into their dry bones. The Lord was providing hope that one day Israel would once again be a whole people that would come and worship him. God's promise doesn't end with Israel, though. The same promise is provided to you and I as well. And it's not just the worship that God wants. He wants our heart. He wants us to truly love him. We are God's adopted children, being adopted by Jesus Christ's sacrifice for all of humanity. The day that Jesus went to the cross, he did so with each of us in his heart. Out of the valleys of darkness, we step into the light. That's why I believe that in Psalm 23, the author wrote, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," and that's a scary line, but then it's backed up with this, "I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You set a table before me in the presence of my enemy. My cup overflows. Your cup overflows with the blessing of the Lord." And it ends with this thought, and I love this thought. "Surely, mercy and goodness will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Isn't that wonderful? Kind of changes the whole scary theme right there. So whenever we find ourselves in a dark valley, we should not lose hope. I've never been in a place that was absolutely devoid of light myself. I was in the military for 8 years, and one of the pieces of equipment that we used was night vision goggles. For those of us that aren't familiar with night vision goggles, they're worn in places that have little to no light. What I mean by that is that there's no light that can be seen by human eyes. So, you know, those places where you hold your hand right in front of your face and you can't see it at all. You see, night vision goggles uses technology to refract light particles that we can't see. So in those moments where I couldn't see my hand in front of my face, I could put on night vision goggles and it would be as if somebody turned the light switch on. Just like today, we're going to turn off the lights of the sanctuary. And for those of you that are online, you may have just went blank. I don't know. I hope not. But even if you can't see this, the demonstration, maybe you could do it at home. Because if you notice, it would be hard to see and to read, and it would change the aspect of our worship here, wouldn't it? But if you look, we're not completely devoid of light. We're not absent of light. God always provides the light in our life. We can turn back on. Friends, we may find ourselves struggling at times to get out of the darkness of our valleys. But I have hope there's always a way, and the Lord will provide. In fact, the Lord did provide, and that is why we are celebrating Holy Communion today. On the eve of the darkest night of the world, when Jesus Christ would be sacrificed for all of humanity, God provided the light that would overcome the darkness and all brokenness in the world.